Am I good, Daryl? All right, okay. Well, I am not Steve. I'm Lee, if you don't know me. Steve asked me to talk. There's a men's series I'm going to be starting in August. It'll be August the 12th. So he wanted me to share a little bit about what that's going to be like. But before I get into all that, I'm going to share a little bit of a sermon, but not a sermon, just a teaching, for I am not a pastor. But something that's always been important to me is the remembrance of putting on the full armor of God in every day of my life. It's a daily renewing. You can't take from yesterday and bring it forward. It's something you have to experience and do every day. So, to give everybody the background of the full armor of God, or the whole armor of God, you have the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, shoes of readiness, shields of faith, helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit. You can find these in your Bible in Ephesians 6, I think it's 10 through 20. It's kind of the whole capture of all that. So today, I want to focus on two of those, the shield of faith a little bit, and the sword of the Spirit, mostly because I have a really cool sword. And I want to go into a little bit of how that looks in your daily life. Well, I should say in my daily life, anyway, and hopefully in yours as well. I'm going to read the passage here, Ephesians 6, 16 through 17. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. Men, I'm specifically talking to you because I am a guy. We all know the sins that really, the darts that come at guys. Really got to prepare our shield and have it sturdy for that, because hell can come at you with a lot. And take up the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. So, in my early years as a Christian, I've been saved for about 15 years. Started out kind of wobbly, as most baby Christians do, trying to understand it all. Didn't really have a good concept of what it meant for the daily renewing of your mind. I was not reading my Bible enough or at all. Could go weeks at a time. So basically, I had a shield that was like paper, and had this little sword, this little floppy sword. Doesn't pierce much. Can't really conquer some sin that really has you in a foothold with this type of sword. So, as I've grown through the years and I've learned things, I've learned that passivity is a crux for men. Being passive in our purpose and pursuit of Christ in our life. In this passivity, you can find yourself not reading your Bible, sitting on the couch, isolating yourself from others, just kind of doing your own thing. In that, you will find when tragedy strikes you, it isn't going to strike you at something that you're strong at. It's going to hit you with something that you're horribly weak at. And if you have not forged a better sword than this by reading your Bible, you will get destroyed. And if you don't have men and discipled men around you to help you through this, you will be destroyed. It's different sin for different men, but there are certain sins that we all struggle with. Lust is a big one. It's one that consumes most men. But within that, be encouraged. Because if you study that Bible and surround yourself with men that do study the Bible, you will have a better sword whenever tragedy strikes, temptation greater than you can handle happens. You'll have a sword like this. This is an awesome sword. It's really heavy. It's really sharp at the point. Thank God they didn't make this sharp where I've already cut my hands 3 times. But it has weight to it. It has purpose. It's ready to pierce that sin that's coming at you. This sword cannot be forged by itself. It takes discipleship. If you're not purposeful in discipling yourself with one another, you can never attain the full purpose of what God's called you to do and do. You will always have these fiery darts hitting you that you cannot withstand. A good verse I like to read about the sword and the shield, and this is for the shield. So faith comes from hearing people speak of the word of God, and hearing through the word of Christ. You're reading it yourself. So you're building that strong relationship with your sword by reading it and listening. And that shield is getting stronger. But here comes the battle. You're going through your daily grind. It's a Thursday. Something just hits you unexpectedly. Could be a myriad of things. It could be something as petty and simple as somebody has cut you off the road 2 days in a row going to work. And that frustration has turned into an unholy monster 3 days later because you didn't properly handle that. But if you have fellows around you and people to talk to, and if you are purposeful in your walk with Christ and reading your Bible daily and not being passive, you will just slip it off and go on. So when we come to the battle, you need to take men with you. You don't want to jump into a fight with a floppy sword and a paper shield. You'll get wounded. And if there ain't men around you to help you bind that wound, you'll bleed out, which is the equivalent of you going down a path that could be very destructive for you and your family. This is something I see played out over and over in people's lives, that God has really consumed me with to help. So in saying all this, I have 2 sermon series that I think will help us as men get to a sword more like this, instead of staying in a floppy sword, staying with a paper shield, and also all the other parts of the armor of God. I went through a course over the past couple years. I've been doing this, and I got with a group of guys, and it's called Men's Fraternity, The Quest for Authentic Manhood. It's by Robert Lewis. Some of you might know him. I don't know. But it's a very good thing to read. You'll find yourself where you're at through this. You'll reflect back on the things before you come from. And you can, these books and this series can help you map out your future, help you to be a disciple to one another. Some of the core concepts of this is: a real man is one who rejects passivity, accepts responsibility. When you're in a group of guys and you're helping each other and you go through it, you're accountable to each other. Before you go into a sin trap or something that's coming after you, and you're thinking, if it's something like lust, instead of swiping right and indulging into that, you'll swipe left. Because you know, I've got to be accountable for these fellas. If one of them falls and I'm sitting here in this world, How can I help them? How is God going to get me to a place where I can actually be of assistance to my brother who has fallen? And that's what the accept responsibility is. And the other one is lead courageously. We have to lead courageously. In order to do that, we have to be very, very solidified as brothers in discipling one another. And we live for one thing, which is expect the greater glory. We are not living for the things of this earth. We are living for the eternal. Everything we do here in this earth will go to dirt. 100 years from now, everything that you own, the things that you do that is not of God, is dirt. But the things that you do in this life, helping one another, helping the lost find themselves, that's eternal. That's everlasting. 1,000 years from now, those things you did here in this short span of time we have is going to make a difference on that side. That's our vacation. That's how I look at it. That the eternal is my vacation. Here is where I've got to grind. This is my work. So this is a 24-session or 24 weeks. I'm not starting out with this. I'm going to start out with this because me and Pastor Steve talked. He thinks this would be a better way, and I do too, and it'll help me kind of roll it out as well. Starting August 12th, we are going to do a man and his marriage. This is about the man's role in a marriage. Whenever, I don't know, we had a unity candle, me and Samantha, because I always bring this up, because we have arguments or something like that. I was like, you remember, we lit that candle, we're one person. You can't dog me out too much. We're one person. So, but in that, in seriousness, though, in doing that, that's a commitment in front of God. You have committed yourself to your wife to be her servant in the role that God has put forth for you to do in that marriage. It's all up to the man to do this. It is no one else's responsibility but for him to fulfill his role and to be a servant to his wife. Some of the examples that this is a very good book too. It's very in-depth. It's very structured well. It's Marriage Basics. And I'll go over four of the key areas. The four fundamentals of truth. Marriage was God's idea. God said that it was not good for man to be alone. There's a reason why we have the other half of us, which is our wife, is because we're made like this, and she is made the opposite to fit right in. And together, if you work together, serve one another, you'll have a stronger relationship in marriage. You will fight the hell that will come at you, the tragedies that may strike you. God intended for a man to leave his parents' home and cleave to his wife. That should show you the importance of that. Whenever you leave home and you get married, that is who you are with. That is your start of your family. That is God leading you to what he has called you to do together. Another area we'll be going in depth over God's design for marriage. Everybody knows the popular Ephesians 5:22-25. Wives, submit to your husbands as the church submits to Christ. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. I think men are really weak in that part. And give himself up for her. That means we have to serve her in her needs and do our role. So that's the third area. It's called died to live. I like to think of that as we try to die to our flesh daily so we can be a bright light for Christ. Every morning when I wake up, I try to do that. As soon as my eyes wake, I try to remember to pray that prayer, Lord, let me die to my flesh today so I can be a better servant for you. Different areas of servant leadership. You know, you need to be the spiritual leader in your house. It is our role And this is something you'll find out. This book will help us get there. It's something that I'm weak at. We're all weak at, I think, as men. We got to be an emotional encourager. We have to be a part of the financial provider. And we have to be a physical protector. Men have that in them naturally. That's why we have wars and stuff. They always feel like they got to protect something. Sometimes we just get, the world gets lost in what it should be protecting. Then the fourth area will be the biblical roles. It'll be the husband role, which will be, we'll be going over the servant leader to serve his wife in love and humility. So that's just to give you some of the basics. It goes so much deeper. We'll be talking about the sins that attack us in the marriage. And it goes pretty in-depth on what we can do to help that, especially with lust. It has some great scripture. And if there's anybody that has issues with pornography, there's some great links and helps for that as well. It's just not going to be like, oh, we talked about it, and we go on to the next week. It's going to be pretty in-depth. So that's going to be on August 12th is when we start that. The following Sunday, by the way, guys, if you're a seasoned married person, if you're brand new at being married, in the middle, or thinking about marriage, I need you all, everybody. We share one another's stories. We go into this helping one another out. There's an experience you've probably been through that someone's going through. You can really help that person out and be a disciple to them. And the things we talk about and discuss in our groups stays in the group. It's not something to be talked about only in that circle. We don't go out and talk about any of it. It's very important that we got to have trust with one another. We got to build it on trust. The second week will be, I think it's August the 19th. I'm also doing a parallel study to it, A Man in His Traps. This book goes about talking about the sin traps that men often have and have to deal with. It ranges everything from pride to passivity to sin that we all kind of know about, the lust and all of that and all the horribleness that comes with that. But there's one part. Oh, yeah. Idols. So this book, I really like how it approaches it. It looks at everything as idols. And this is just for anybody. It's not just men. A lot of this isn't either. I mean, anybody could really take a lot of this to what they do. So in our lives, we have, in our minds, we will structure things. First, second, third, and so on. What's most important to you? It should be God over your family. God should be first. For everything else to work properly, you have to have God first. You have to have Him first in your life. Then you have your family, and then you have whatever else comes below that. If you're a man and you get caught in a sin trap, you don't have any men to help disciple you through it, you will stick that idol up there where God is. And that idol will become your thing. You'll be consumed by it. It will take you to places that are very dark. It will isolate you because Satan wants to do that. He'll isolate you off and turn you into something that you do not want to be. So this book really hits that. It gives us a battle plan on how to have an awareness when things are coming at us. When you have discipleship and fellowship with one another, it brings you to a point to where you have awareness of things going on. It's like, why is this bothering me? What's going on right now? What is going on? If you don't have that discipleship and that help, sin will enter into you, and before you know it, it has consumed you. And you're like, what happened? How did I get here? What is going on? What am I doing? And you don't want that to happen. You want to stay in front of that. You want to be able to be an encourager for other men. And you cannot do that if you yourself are indulging in sins. And it could be any sin. Pride, lust, just frustration, hating the world, all those kind of things. It could be big or small to you in your world. But sin is sin, and it's all the same. So that this study will begin the following Sunday. I'm going to do it from 9:30 to 10:15. Every Sunday for 6 weeks, we'll go through these two books. After that, there's going to be two more series, and it'll just keep alternating back and forth. In January, my hope is, probably around January 6th, my hope is to go into this. This will be a complement to all the books that we get through. This is more comprehensive. It will look back at our wounds from the past. It will gauge us to where we're at. And we'll construct a timeline of things and what we want to see happen in our lives going forward. Basically, if you're like me, I'm what they call middle-aged. So middle-aged, I'm where I am, where I'm at. This will help me see where I'm going to be in 10 years when I'm into the older stage. It really gets good and involved. And also with that comes the cool sword. When I've completed the series, it was 24 sessions. It's long, but it's well worth it. I didn't miss a class. You get this cool sword at the end. And I promise you guys, if you do this, all these series, complete the big series, I will get you an awesome, cool sword. And then maybe we can have sword fights on the fun days that we will have, which we will. We can eat meat and, like, you know, play with swords. And I don't know, I was thinking you could put some sterno on it instead of the fire. It'd be pretty cool. It'd be awesome. I got all kinds of ideas. So, in saying all this, we've got to I get kind of put off sometimes on what people think of growing a church is. There's only, in my mind, there's only two ways you can grow a church. That's through prayer, like we'll be doing tonight, and that's through discipleship. But if we are not discipling one another as a church body right now, why are we expecting the lost to be sent by God to us to disciple them? Do you see that? I hope everyone understands what I'm saying is you can throw up lights, camera, and action, but that's very shallow. It's not deep. And God will not send people to us to set them up for failure. Sounds pretty logical to me. It's something that God's put on my heart. It's why I am doing what I'm doing. I've got, if I'm lucky, if something doesn't take me out, I've got 40 years to work for the Lord. And I want to do it with all my heart. I want to get as close to Him I can here as possible, because I do believe on the other side that will get me closer to Him in heaven, because He's laying up rewards for us. Every misery, every pain, every affliction, every addiction, everything you go through has meaning and purpose. It is not for waste. When you're a child of God, He's going to take care of you. It's like I always try to figure out, He always says His yoke is easy and His burden is light. Man, through 10 years of being a Christian, I was like, the yoke is very hard, very hard, very hard to stir. And the burden does not feel light at all. And over the last 5 or 6 years, God has put people in my life and shown me things that I understand it now. When you pursue Christ, the yoke is easy. When you pursue Christ, the burden is light. But if you do things of this world, the burden gets heavy. The yoke is hard because you have turned your flesh heart that God has pierced that stone away from, and you're going back into things that He cannot be a part of. Just like Pastor Steve talked, if you are praying, reading your Bible, discipling one another, involved, the sin darts that attack you are not going to be the same impact as 10 years ago if you were not doing those things. That burden will be light. His yoke will be easy. So when a tragedy hits, you'll be able to be a comforter. You'll be able to help someone. You'll be a servant to your fellow man and woman in your church. You'll be a servant to your wife in the way that God has called you to be. It is the most vital and critical thing out of all the pastors I listen to. I mean, I listen to a lot of them. Dr. Tony Evans, Pastor Cimbala, John Piper, Francis Chan, Bodie Bachman. There's just a ton of them. They all have that common thread with them. It's your pursuit of Christ, your action to do something. You've taken the steps to read your Bible, go to classes like this, disciple one another. Those actions is what makes the yoke easy and the burden light. So that's what we'll be doing. I will be doing it from here until I die. Some form or another, we'll have these study classes. We'll start off with the setup the way I have it with the Sunday mornings. I think that might be the easiest for guys because potentially you'll already be here. So we'll just do it in the morning. I will have breakfast. There will be meat. So that way we're not all starved to death after we get out of there. And so don't worry about that. But try to come as much as you can. And just think about it over the next couple weekends. By the way, Glenn, we're going to meet at your house next Saturday at 9:30. Okay. So we're going to have a men's meeting, a breakfast. If y'all want to think about it over the week, what I've talked about and went over, get with me. We're going to have breakfast at Glenn's house. I'll go over some things or questions you have. If you have what it looks like, how is this all going to work. I'll have the books with me. We can go over and discuss it. Also, I'd like to get some guys to plan some outings. I'd like to go to the gun range if we can get that set up. You will be my helper on that, plus other things throughout the year. So this is our first step, I think, as a church that we've really got a concrete thing. I'm dedicated to it until God calls me home. Hopefully that's farther in the future. Well, half of me thinks that way. It'd be nice if I just go on. But I'm here for a purpose. This is going to be my purpose, and I want you all to just be a part of it. And because I need you all. The stuff that I go through, the last 3 years of my life has been insane. I'd love to have 10 more guys to be able to talk to and get through it instead of just a few handful of guys and 32 pastors that I listen to sermons on. I kid you not, guys, there's times I go at work and stick it in my ears. I go 8 hours straight, listen to the same sermon over and over. It's what gets me through sometimes. I mean, it gets intense in this hot mess of a head of mine. It's pretty bad. But he's got me through, just like Daniel said. It always comes back because God is good all the time, and all the time God is good. So that is my sermon, my pitch, my speech, whatever you want to call it. But remember, there is a cool sword at the end. We'll be eating a lot, and we're going to do fun stuff. Dan Dye is going to set us up at the gun range. They got food there, too, I believe. So I'm always thinking of food. Lord always has to help me with that. Glenn knows that I have an issue with chubby cakes. It is a real bad weakness of mine. Little Debbie is always at Walmart when I'm there. So she won't leave me alone. But anyway, in all seriousness, I think this will be a great thing. I think if we want to see our church grow, it'll grow if we are discipled and ready to take on the lost. So if everybody just want to bow their head. Oh, wait a minute. We have communion today. All right. So, who's wanting to do the communion disbursement? We'll start that process. Let's see. And if guns isn't your thing, I will be doing other stuff too. I don't know, Steve. Oh, Steve likes camping, but he always wants to go in the dead of winter, and I don't know why. And it's like the worst time to go. I was like, Steve, I have children. I don't want to die frozen. But we'll try to do something like that, camping, and then we'll do other things. We'll get together at places. There's this one place in Charleston called L and Axes. You just go in there to like a restaurant, and you can throw axes and eat meat. Sounds really good to me. But I got to get your guys' opinions and views on other things. I'm very kind of like locked in on certain things, baseball, weaponry, those kind of things. So I need more input for that for sure. I think I might be saying the prayer over this too. I didn't get the text if I was supposed to do this part. Sorry, guys.